right now. I'm nervous because, A, the boss is in the studio whenever that happens.
Uh-oh.
A little nerve-wracking. But also because, what in the world? I got to give you the rundown. Jack Bauer from 24, Stand By Me, Young Guns, Flatliner, so many more. He's got a music career. He was just opening for Muse.
In Europe.
In Finland.
In Finland.
Crazy. Give it up for Kiefer Sutherland. Yay!
Thank you very much for having me.
Okay, so we could talk. We're going to get to your music. We're going to play your song. I love
talk
the video.
About whatever you want.
First, I want to talk about the important things in life. Most people would say 24. No, to me, it's your vlogging and your passion for cooking.
Oh.
Cooking with Kiefer.
I don't know how that started.
Do you like to cook? Is that how it started?
I love to cook.
He's damn good at it,
but that's not why I started blogging. I was shocked to find out how many friends I have that don't know how to cook. And almost everybody in my band as well. And so,
isn't that the band life, though?
And so, yes. and I want to change that. We did a simple recipe that I sent out to people. And I remember when I started cooking, I have two kids. I now have two grandkids. I started cooking because I was scared of poisoning my children. And so I went and took
true.
A class.
Yeah.
And then I fell in love with it. And so at the precursor of that blog, I guess, is if you know how to cook, don't bother watching this. It's not for you. This is for people that want to learn some really good recipes.
And you're very methodical really about it. Is that you in life? Are you just methodical about everything? Because you're very by the book. You had everything prepared real well for the beef stew that I'm making this weekend.
Oh, cool. I hope you like it. It's one of my favorite recipes.
I love it. And I have to say, you have this confidence and calmness about you that made me feel like you were the Bob Ross of cooking.
Oh, well, that's very generous.
Yeah.
For me, I'm not the kind of cook that, and I envy these people that just change a little spice here and do something and that are really creative with it. I have found for me that if I follow a recipe to the T, oh my gosh, it's edible.
I could tell. I could tell you were living
you won't kill anybody.
You're living on the edge when you're like, okay, it says to put this much salt in here. Just put three shakes in there. It's going to be okay.
It's going to be okay.
Very cool though. And I mean, your life is so crazily balanced. Like, we have you here because we're going to play your song, which a lot of people, even though it's your sophomore album that's out, might not realize that you're a singer.
A singer,
yeah,
we've managed
We've managed to keep that one of the best-kept secrets in the entertainment business.
So why give it out now?
We're trying to change it. I'm really proud of both records. And my experience in the last 5 years, we've played well over 100 shows a year, even while doing Designated Survivor. I fell in love with touring in a way that I had never expected. And for a variety of reasons, the generosity that I've experienced with the audiences that we've played to has been extraordinary. And at the end of a night, if you've had a good show, whatever preconceived notion the audience has come to that show with, and whatever preconceived notion I might have of that audience, hopefully at the end of the night, we realize we've got a lot more in common than we thought. And that's a really good feeling. And the songs that I've written have been about kind of the struggles of getting through life. And I'm consider myself one of the luckiest people I've ever met. It doesn't mean that someone's not going to pass away and or break your heart. These things, they're going to happen. And the more you can share those experiences with other people, they feel less alone in going through whatever they're going through. And B, you might give someone some insight in how to get through something. That's what I've always taken from music as a listener, and that's been the experience that I've had in touring. And so I would like people to know that this is what we're doing.
We did talk about that before you got here. We were like, how does somebody like Kiefer Sutherland, who's writing his own songs, how does he relate to an audience? And in that moment when I was even thinking that, I was like, well, because he's a human. Because even though he has been, you know, rodeo, has done all these other crazy things, superstar, movie star, you feel emotions.
Absolutely. And there's no way any of us get through this life without going through some difficulties. And, you know, and some high times too. And I try to write about those as well. But I've found, even when I get together with friends, we tend to talk about what someone's going through that's tough. The good times seem to take care of themselves. And so that's kind of what I've written about in a very selfish way, which is very cathartic for me. But what I've realized with the audiences that we've played to, for instance, there's a song that I wrote about someone who I love very much who passed away when I was very young. And that really caught me off guard. And I wrote the song. It was my way of saying hello to that person and keeping that memory alive. I explained that one night before a show. A woman came up to me after, said her husband had passed away 5 years ago, and for a brief moment,
you had a crazy
she felt less alone.
Right.
And
she could connect with you on so many different levels without looking at you as a celebrity. She saw you as a human and someone that she can have a connection
someone
with.
Someone else who's had to go through what she considered to be the most painful thing in her life. And,
you also-
and those moments that you have with people out there on the road are extraordinary. And again, the generosity that I've experienced from the audiences that we've played to, which have been hundreds of thousands of people, you know, 1,000 people at a time, have been incredibly generous. And I have a tendency to be kind of cynical, and that really moved me. And I think to kind of have that feeling at this point in my life has been really special.
Well, the song we're about to play is the flip side of tragedy and stuff like that. Something you love. And that video has so
it's
much
so
joy. Like,
yes.
The people just look so happy. And I even noticed on you that you just look like you're having a blast. Like, this is like something you love.
It is. It is. And the song, Jude Cole, who I made both of these records with, wrote that chorus. And I absolutely loved it. And I think he actually intended to use it as a song for himself. But he was not happy with the verses that he was working on. And I told him how much I love the chorus and said, can I have a run at those verses? Because it really spoke to me. And and the chorus is really a shout out to, I've watched too many people over the course of my lifetime who have worked their lives to the bone to take care of their family and their friends. And then they get to a point and realize they didn't do anything for themselves.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a plea to anybody who hears this song. Just
celebrate
for a moment. Do something for yourself.
Yes.
Do something that you love. Do something that you're interested in. It doesn't have to be a career. It doesn't even have to be a hobby. It can just be a thing. This one day, you know,
one moment,
and just try and take that and I know I guarantee you, if you do that, you'll do it again.
Cool. Let's play the song right now. So you guys
I can't
can
wait
check
to live
out.
In the moment of this song. Thank you.
This is Kiefer Sutherland in the studio with us right now. We'll talk a little bit afterwards. I need to talk to you about the guitar in the video as well.
Okay.
Dude, craziest cool guitar I've ever seen. Kiefer Sutherland, Something You Love. He's playing the Wilbur Theater tomorrow night. Stay here. We're going to give you tickets after this.
I ran into an old friend. We shared some drinks and some old times gone by. Traded our war stories, moments of glory, when I saw the fear in his eye. That's when he told me about the company's setbacks, budgets and cutbacks, and boy, you're on your own. Said I'm wasting my life just paying my bills, doing my time but getting no chills. The living ain't living out without the thrill of doing something you love. Sing a song loud or hit a ball. Spend a night outside under the stars. Catch one falling and you'll go far. Doing something you love. I was saving for a week. Hoping that we might spend a little time alone. Somewhere watching the sun drop. Yeah, that's when I'd pop the question and break out the stone. And she told me, I'll follow you wherever. And I'll never, ever leave you alone. But I'm wasting my time just paying my bills, staying in line but getting no chills. The living ain't living out without the thrill of doing something you love. Dance all night till the moonlight's gone. Dive in the river with nothing on. Follow your dreams, you can't go wrong. Doing something new, something you love. Yeah.
I gave our time away. Ain't gonna waste my life just paying my bills, grinding my gears, climbing the bad hill. The living ain't living now without the thrill of doing something you love. Sing a song loud or hit a bar hard, spend the night outside under the stars. Catch one falling and you'll go far, doing something you, something you love.
All right, let's hear it for Key for Suddenly.
Yes!
That's
were you
very
just
generous.
Playing the electric guitar
on the countertop?
Yes, on the countertop. I love that. You are such a musician. We're about to talk about your guitar. Jackson's been dying to ask about it.
I showed him like a freak. I took a picture of my TV last night because I loved your guitar so much.
Well,
Buddy Holly on there.
It was a really interesting way that happened. So we were playing a show in Lubbock, Texas, and just kind of wandered into town and looking for something to eat. And there was a beautiful statue of Buddy Holly. And it was kind of overcast. And I had a friend of mine take a picture of me on my knees praying to Buddy Holly.
Oh, cool. My gosh.
And we just sent that out and said, we're in Lubbock, Texas. So honored to be here, the home of Buddy Holly. And his wife, his widow, saw it. And they have a foundation where it deals with everything from music programs to helping children find access to instruments, et cetera, et cetera. And they use these guitars as a way of making you an ambassador to try and help them do that. And she found me. She got in touch with me. And it was such an honor to be a part of the foundation. And I was given that guitar.
Cool.
And
wow.
So every time I get to play it or get people to see it.
How does it sound plugged in?
It's an Atkins guitar. It's made in England. It's one of the most beautiful sounding acoustic guitars you'll ever pick up.
Will you play that tomorrow at the Wilbur? Or do you have
another set of
guitars?
The two guitars that I normally use on stage. I have in the UK or in Europe. I try to travel with just one. In the UK, I'll use a Gibson Dove. That I've had for a very, very long time. And in the U.S., I use a Hummingbird. And both of them are really beautiful sounding guitars. They have the same timbre.
They have the same full sound, too.
Yeah, so it's something that the band can rely on as a sound and I can rely on as well.
All right, we got to talk about one thing that a lot of people feel a crazy connection to you because of 24. Jack Bauer was a monster character. Didn't you say, like, your birthday, that's all you wanted?
I wasn't going to tell him in person, but yes, like, a few years ago, all I wanted for my birthday was to binge watch it with a bottle of wine or multiple and eat pizza. That's all I wanted for...
But her boyfriend gave her what instead?
Fishing. And I was like, I don't want to go fishing. I don't... That's not what I wanted. You weren't listening. I wanted to watch 24.
So, yeah. Do you miss the role? Do you miss doing 24?
Yeah. I miss the character.
Yeah.
You know, to put into perspective how long I had the privilege of doing the show, there's a picture of my daughter who's about 8 years old when we started that show, and she's on the set. And then I have a picture of her graduating New York University.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
It was a long time.
How long was that?
It was 10 and a half, almost 11 years to do 9 seasons because of a writer's strike.
Wow.
And this was not back, you know... So many people now are doing television shows that are 10 episodes or 12 episodes or 9 episodes for Netflix. We were doing 24 episodes a year. That's the equivalent of 12 feature films. And we did that for 9 years.
That's crazy.
So it was,
sounds exhausting, but awesome.
It was, but it was, again, because the character, you know, the Jack Bauer from season 1 was not the Jack Bauer in season 9, because the show was serialized. Everything that happened to him, whether it was losing his wife or becoming estranged from his daughter or, you know, all of these things had a profound effect on him as a person, as that would. And so it was, it was really the gift of a lifetime for an actor.
Are you happy with the way it wrapped?
Yeah, I had different ideas for that. But, I think one of the reasons that we worked so well as a show was that we made concessions. And we made concessions for each other till we kind of came up with something that we could all live with. And then once you come to that place, you kind of rise or sink together with that. And I think that that's really important.
That sounds really healthy.
It's one of the reasons why we managed to survive as long as we did. And we still go have a drink together now.
Cool.
We had 99% of the crew that started on the very first day was there at the very last day. Three people passed away, unfortunately, during the making of the show. Not because of the show, just because. I think there were 45 marriages. I think 37 children were born over the course of the show.
Gosh. Oh, my God.
And so it always sounds trite when an actor will say, well, they're like a family. But
legit.
We really were. We spent 5 days a week together, 12 hours a day.
Reboots?
For 9 years.
Everybody's rebooting everything.
It's the one thing that I've learned to never say no to. And every once in a while, Howard Gordon and I, if we're having a couple beers or a drink, we'll get nostalgic and start throwing ideas out. It's not something I would ever rule out. Again, if the right story were to come along in the right circumstance, I'd probably be the first one in line. I absolutely love
it. Are you one of those guys that never says no to anything?
Oh, no, I say no to a lot.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right.
Sure, you have to.
I say no to a lot.
That's why you don't see Kiefer Sutherland
even talking
like a
about
chicken
work.
Soup.
Just like opportunities, you know, things in life, things that
you
cross your path.
You asked me earlier if I have a dog. I think that's the only word she thinks I know. No. No. Oh, Shirley Jean, no.
Shirley Jean.
Shirley Jean.
I love the name.
How country is Kiefer Sutherland?
Yes.
Actually, the irony is that's my mom's name.
Oh.
I wrote a song on the first record, which was a real ode to kind of Johnny Cash and the prison songs that he wrote. And it's a song, man singing, writing a letter to the only girl he ever knew before his execution in prison. And I couldn't come up with the name that I wanted. And finally, Shirley Jean, which is my mom's name, but I had to call her and ask her if I could use it.
What was her reaction to that?
She said, well, what's the song about?
Good question by mama.
And I said, oh, well, it's about a man's last night in prison. He's writing a letter home to the only girl he's ever known. Huh.
She goes, sign me
for the death penalty or against the death penalty? It doesn't even come up, Mom. She's like, oh, fine, you can have it.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right, this is Kiefer Sutherland. He's playing tomorrow night at the Wilbur Theater. Can't wait to see you live there, and somebody out there is going to get to see you as well. We have a pair of tickets for somebody. I would ask you to plug it, but we already have you recorded saying this.
Hey, this is Kiefer Sutherland. Call in now to win tickets to see me, 888-819-1025.
Yeah, I'll take some of the heavy.
What I didn't throw in there is if you all do come out, find me and I'll buy you a drink after the show.
Hanging with Kiefer
Whoa!
Sutherland. Okay, it's going to be a mob scene. Good luck with that.
Is he talking to us or the fans?
Call now when you're in tickets. It's Country 102.5. Thank you, Kiefer Sutherland.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.